Those of you for whom this is a new experience, this making retreat, don't, one little hint, don't look for progress or don't look for dramatic changes. Just keep looking to be found, I guess is the best way I could say it. let something settle. And that's true for all of us. I was at our high school. I always enjoyed, I'd go over to the weight room with the kids and the freshmen. First day in the weight room, they'd work a little bit on the machines and then go over and look at themselves in the mirrors. They wanted progress. And then they'd go out for football and, you know, place like our Jesuit high school, you know, everybody goes out for football. I might have 140 kids out for football. About the fourth day, they're down to about 70. They got in touch with their truth and they went to the debate club or somewhere. They were looking for progress, and the looking for progress is so demanding. Our egos want it right now, immediate results. So that's just a little hint. I might say after 60 years, I'm looking for progress myself, but it's not there yet. It's because I'm looking for the wrong thing. Growth comes from inside. Don't worry about changes and I'm going to do this and do that. No, and changes are always caused. I mean, the major changes in our lives are caused because somebody met us. It might be Jesus. It might be your best friend. It might be grandparents, I don't know, somebody met you that changed you. Spouse, children. This theme, that's just another little thing. Why? Don't worry about external changes. They happen and we don't even know it. Just one little picture. We started with Mary as an example of somebody making the exercises, that somebody met her. And there was a pregnancy, there was a change that she didn't even know that happened. And she allowed herself to be met in her truth. And she allowed her truth to be met. And her truth was fear and all these things. That's where we start. That's how we get along in the exercises. We're constantly meeting ourselves. And when Jesus met people in conditions that they wished they weren't in. If you go through scripture, Jesus met people. They would rather be met in finer conditions. But Mary was met in her humanity. And her humanity was She, as a Jewish person, she did not expect to be met. She was in a backwater town where there was no water. That's how backwards it was. Nazareth. And she allowed the meeting to take place. And she lived with her humanity. That's why the visitation is such a good image for making the exercises. That she believed it, she trusted it, and she celebrated it, announcing, the Lord has done great things for me. And He has raised up the lowly. I am a lowly servant. Okay, that's just a reminder of where we're going. We're going to put ourselves in a position to be met and to be found. In chapter 2 of John's Gospel, this goes back to the theme of chaos. There is a social chaos in chapter 2. It's a wedding and they ran out of wine. They have no wine, that's chaos. They bring then 6 jars, stone jars, for John. I think that's the 6 days of creation. Remember I said Genesis and John go together. And there's water in there, which is a sign of chaos. And he breathes over them in some way. And then because of that comes life, wine being the symbol of life. So he resolves the chaos, and this is the first story in John's Gospel, and so it's the beginning. It's another prologue. It's another everything from now on is going to be like this. Every time Jesus meets somebody in John's Gospel, it's chaotic. It's insufficient. It's apparently impossible. You can't change water into wine. And everything will be apparently impossible. The disorder or the inconvenience or the human condition. I'm going to meet you in your human condition, and at times you will think that your human condition cannot be changed. You will concentrate so much on your human condition so that the wedding persons, the couple, and the attendants could concentrate so much on that they have no wine. They let their truth be met, and he meets them, and he brings life to them. Life out of darkness, light out of darkness, life out of apparent non-life, chaos. So that's what we're doing. And if you look at the story, you know, they say, everyone serves the good wine first. And then when they all get drunk, then you serve them bad wine and they think it's even better wine. That's what the story is about. That's verse 10. This is the beginning of the signs in Cana of Galilee. And so revealed his glory, his love, and his disciples began to believe in him. Right after that, there's a strange, chaotic again, and we're going to see, it's really interesting, the gospel for, in the Catholic Church, for this feast today, this celebration, in Mark's gospel, is the same story that John has, different elements, but it's interesting to me. He goes into the temple and there's chaos in the temple because it has become a marketplace and a place of secular business. And he drives them out. What this story means to me, this isn't standard, it's right after the wedding feast, it's the same thing. There is disorder. There's a perversion. There is a misuse of religion and religious activities. There is a place for sacrificing doves and turtles and things, sheep, in the temple area, but it had become a manipulation. Let's do the religious thing and God will be pleased. No, you don't please God. God is God. And we can't make God into our image. We let God's image be what God's image is, as best as we can get it in the little pint bottle of our minds. But he says he wants to change what religion is. That's what this story, and you'll see it in the Mark's version of it today too. Why does he get so upset? because they were perverting religion and perverting who God is. Is God only pleased with us when we have the right amount of doves to sacrifice, or the right amount of prayers to say, or anything? No. Religion gets perverted by our sense of manipulation. We can manipulate God. All we have to do is do this and that and this and that. Today, it happens to be First Friday, and there is a tradition in the Catholic Church that if you make the first Fridays and go to communion on communion Fridays of the first day of the month, or first Friday of the month, you'll have the tickets. You're safe. And you can be very scrupulous about that, to make the 9 first Fridays. And then you're set. You have got God in a corner. Because you have 9 Eucharistic tickets. And you did it with very good faith. And it was in praise and honor of Jesus in the Sacred Heart. And it's based on Jesus appearing to St. Mary Margaret Alacoque. And you may do the first Fridays, or you say so many rosaries. The church has a lot of ways of blessings and all this stuff, and you get 100 days of indulgence in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You bless yourself, you get certain, you know, guys, I know guys will go 25, 50, 75, 100, blessing themselves. But all that stuff is, there's a devotion to it, but it can be perverted. That's all I'm saying. And it's real easy because that's our economic way in this North American culture. You pay the price and you get the product. Easy. And what you want to do in religion is find out what's the practice and do it, and then you're safe. Well, were you not safe before? Were you not loved by God before? Did you do it out of love or fear? Well, what if you do it out of fear? That still gets you the tickets. It's very easy to pervert religion. But it's the question does come down. Is the tree good because it bears good fruit? Or does the tree bear good fruit because it's good? Are we good by our product, or are we good and our goodness is a gift from God, and we share it and we do something with it? We receive it. And that's one of the beauties of prayer, is just to receive God's goodness, receive who God is. And God shares God's goodness with us, and to receive that. And that's the interior. And little by little, we get met by this loving God, and then the external, we just do it. I don't go to Mass on First Friday to get a ticket. I go to Mass on First Friday because it's the day after Thursday. It's easy. It's what I want to do. Do you want to do religious practice because it's very healthy to do for God's relationship with you? Well, that's what Jesus is after. But it's, so you have the wedding feast at Cana is chaos. Here he walks into the temple and they're shouting probably, and sheep doo-doo all over the place, and he's in it. There's not much religion here. There's not much spirituality here. There's transactions here. And God is the observer of your perversion of religion. Now, I'm all for sacrifice if that's not a way of manipulating God. You see, what God does is be God. That's what God does. And this God reverences our fears of, are we okay? I mean, that's what, and so let's do the first Fridays and we're going to be okay. Or we start with God's creation of me and God's recreation of me in Christ. That redemption is a form of creation, you see, bringing my worries, my chaotic worries about myself, brings them out into the light and says, no, don't worry about how you are. Pray with who you are, and you won't worry about how you're doing. So that he is constantly recreating us, constantly giving ourselves to ourselves. And we don't pray with folded hands, clasped hands. We pray with hands open, wide open, like we do receiving the Eucharist with the openness of our hands. It's a great symbol of the openness of our spirits. And God is always trying to create us. That's what I'm getting at. And in everything. And we wonder at this loving God comes to us just the way we need to be come to. And as I've said, to let it be given, let it be done to me according to your word. Mary is very receptive and believes in it. And so she asks out of her fear and asks out of her humanity, how's this going to be and what am I, who am I? I'm just a little woman, not much. Let me tell you who you are. You will be the mother of Jesus, mother of God. You have to receive that. She received her goodness. That's the whole thing of religion and of Christianity and Catholicism. To constantly receive our goodness and not be so dominated about our badness. That's our ego and that's our North American narcissism. I want to be better. Why? Because I don't like myself. I'm not the perfect I want to be. I said, no. There's a goodness in you in some ways it's harder to believe in what God says about us than it is to believe in God. So what we do in prayer and in the exercises is try to put aside those things, our memories, our habits, our false values. What has gotten me into chaos? What has gotten me into a need to manipulate God? So what is, if I don't manipulate God, what's prayer? It's to receive gratefully. And so what did Mary do? First thing she did was go to share. And so the exercises will move us from being so narcissistically in on ourselves, wanting to be better. When I'm better, then I'll do this. When I judge myself as pretty close to whole and unfractured, then I'll be okay. And then I can be in community and relationship and I could do the adventure of mission. No, you're never going to be there if it's all about you. I had a great thing recently. The reason that they call selfies selfies are that they couldn't spell narcissism. That's a good one. But concentrating on ourselves, are we good enough? There's a little phrase maybe, enoughness is never enough. And it's a tremendous cancer in our North American culture. Enoughness. Enoughness with God, with others, with adventure. If I only had a little more. Insufficiency is so crippling. to relationships and relationship with God. If I could be more, if I only had a little bit more. Well, where is that? What's nagging at us that we're not good enough? Well, we fail. We don't do it well. We don't do it perfectly. And Mary did not walk away from her insufficiency. And Jesus comes into the insufficiency. And we're going to see it. This whole thing in John's Gospel is about insufficiency. They don't have, I can't do, all these things. And I need to know, and you know, don't have any wine. It's all that, maybe it's this, it's taking the shame and moving it to honor. It's probably what prayer does and what Jesus does. Jesus embraces the humanity of everyone whom he meets, even those who don't want to be met. But those whom he does meet change. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 27 or so, 26, 27, where he meets a man who is very negative about himself. He is very insufficient, frightened, and so he frightens others, and he howls and all this stuff. He's in a cemetery of some kind, and Jesus meets him, or the man wants to be met, and he calls out to be met, and so Jesus meets him, and Jesus is not afraid of him. And the great thing is, this man does not do anything but announce his truth. Have pity on me. And Jesus, that man is who he is, and Jesus is who he is. And at the end of the encounter, of truth meeting truth, what happens? He is seated at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. What a great picture. Clothed and in his right mind. That's probably as close to a picture of the Jesus in verse 35, as close as you get to an understanding of the meaning of the incarnation. How is Jesus part of God's creation of the world, the creation of chaos? That God has not given up on creation and wants to meet us in our truth, loves us enough to meet us where we are, and loves us enough to not leave us there, but give us back ourselves. Constantly giving me back myself. For what purpose? To pat myself on the back? No. Mary did not stay in Nazareth saying, wow, this is great. I'm going to be the mother of Jesus. And the angel met me. Well, I ought to tell everybody in town. Or I think I'll just write a memoir about it. Or I'll just enjoy it. No, once we have ourselves, once he gives us ourselves, it's meant for distribution. Gratitude is the basis of generosity. Reception is the prelude to distribution. Mary could not keep the evangelium, the good news to herself. Well, I'd like you to pray. receptively, with what might prevent you from letting Jesus meet you? What would be your fear of being freed from whatever confines you, whatever fetters or chains bind you? Fears, insufficiency. What way does insufficiency hinder you from distribution? That's probably the part of the exercises that we're in. What keeps you from relationships or being more available or vulnerable? What keeps you hiding? That might be a good way. And I'm proposing that it's probably got something to do with not being good enough, not being something enough. Pray with the word enough in your life. And let yourself be met there, and maybe even smile. Seated at the feet of Jesus, looking up and smiling, saying, "Yeah, I'm too much about me."